Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this family service. I'm Natasha, the vicar of Stoke Poges Church, and it's good to meet together in the name of Christ. As it says in Psalm 100, worship God with gladness, come into his presence and sing his praises. This week, Heather is curating our worship songs. Nigel is opening God's word in the talk, and Richard is leading us through our time of prayer, with Judy doing our reading. What a team. Thank you all for contributing this week. Let's begin, shall we, with our opening prayer. Our desire, our need, our yearning draws us together to worship God. Unexplainable, unimaginable, unbelievable, incomprehensible love pulls at our heartstrings, tugs at our emotions, turns our eyes beyond the seeing, all-encompassing God, just as we are, we come to you. Amen. And so to a time of worship. Feel free to join in or just sit and soak up the words and the music. We're going to have How Deep the Father's Love for Us, followed by Broken Vessels, which you may know as Amazing Grace.
Love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. Finished.
Yeah.
Let me just introduce the theme for today. You see, Jesus in his teaching is letting us know that we are going to have to become well versed in the art of forgiveness, for we are going to have to do it over and over and over again. To get you in that frame of mind then, let's have a go at saying this well-known tongue twister. Let's give it a go, shall we? She sells seashells on the sea. Oh gosh, I can't do it, can I? She sells seashells on the seashore. The shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure. And if she sells seashells on the seashore, then I'm sure she sells seashells. Oh gosh, that is very hard, isn't it? Shall we try it one more time? I'll do it slower. She sells seashells on the seashore. The shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure. And if she sells seashells on the seashore, then I'm sure she sells seashore shells. Oh gosh, it is not easy, is it? How many times do you think it will take for me to get it right, or even for you to get it right? 7 times, maybe? 17? 77 times. Maybe we'll never quite manage it, for we are not perfect, although we are perfected in Christ. Let's just think about that as we go through that our service today. But right now, let's just stop and pause for a moment and think about the fact that we do make mistakes over and over again. And every single time we ask for forgiveness, God gives it to us. So, just have a think about that. What's happened this week, this month, this day? What pops to mind? Hold that thought for a moment. And then as we say this confession together, release it to God and ask his forgiveness. Let's pray. Forgiving God, more willing to forgive than often we are to confess, help us to see our failings, to see where we fall short, to see where we deceive ourselves, where we close our eyes and ears to the ripples of our wrongdoing. May we breathe in the reality of our actions, the need to change, the depth of our unworthiness. We come before you, seeking forgiveness. Now, let us breathe in the power of your forgiveness and breathe out the need to live and love in the shadow of your forgiveness of us, that we may forgive as you have forgiven us. Amen. Over to you now, Judy, for today's Bible reading.
Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured, until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Judy. Will you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. We ask this for your glory, and in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on now, let bygones be bygones. After all, as Christians, we should forgive and forget. Oh, all right then, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Sound familiar? Have you heard a conversation a bit like that? And if so, on which side did your sympathies lie? Or perhaps you've been part of a similar exchange. And if so, what were you, the peacemaker? Or possibly the poor hurt person who'd been cruelly mistreated? In today's reading, Jesus leaves us in no doubt the only thing for us to do, no matter how much we have been hurt, is to forgive and forget. And the first two verses of today's reading sum up perfectly the gospel message, that all would-be followers of Jesus, including Peter, really need to understand. Clearly at this stage, Peter didn't get it. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? 7 times? A reasonably small number of times to forgive, and then you can go for the jugular. No need to show mercy. You've given them their chance. You've done your bit, and it's been thrown back in your face. You're free to seek retribution. Retribution? Well, it's just a polite word for revenge. But oh no, says Jesus, not even 7, but 70 times 7. In other words, forgiveness must be limitless. Why? Well, Jesus explains, starting in verse 23. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now, we don't need a brain the size of a planet to work out that the king is God and that the settlement is judgment day. So this chap turns up owing a humongous load of money. But because this is judgment day, Jesus is really referring to all this man's sins. This poor wretch stands condemned by his considerable guilt, which he cannot put right. His situation is hopeless and he knows it. All he can do is throw himself on the king's, i.e. God's, mercy. Lord, have patience, and I will pay you everything, he begged. Unfortunately for him, he has more chance of crossing the English Channel in a gas cooker than paying off the debt, or in other words, atoning for his sins. Of course, God, in his infinite wisdom, knows full well there is no possibility that that debt could ever be repaid. But verse 27, out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. In other words, all his sins were forgiven. Now, if, say, your mortgage, your overdraft, your credit card, any HP, and any other monies you owed were all paid off for you, your slate wiped clean, and no thanks to you, wouldn't you be feeling pretty good and in a generous mood? While this man in the story of Jesus wasn't feeling in the least bit generous, in fact, quite the opposite. As he walked out of the king's palace, he came across a fellow servant who owed him a small amount of money. Seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe me." The poor man fell on his knees, begging for time to pay. And being a comparatively tiny amount, there was every chance he would in time be able to repay it in full. Unfortunately, this creditor lacks God's grace and generous spirit. So instead of displaying some of the kindness he had received, he had his fellow servant thrown into a debtor's prison. Now, surprisingly, the other servants were appalled by what had happened and reported it to the king, who, to put it mildly, was not best pleased, and had the man brought before him a second time. "You wicked servant," he said, "I forgave you all that debt because you besought me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" The king was so angry that he had the servant thrown in prison until the debt was paid back in full. Now, Jesus concludes this story with the warning that this is how we can expect God to treat us if we don't truly forgive our brother or sister from the bottom of our heart. Yes, God's forgiveness is absolute, but at the same time, conditional. As the words of the absolution in the Book of Common Prayer make clear, after we've all said the general confession, the priest says, "Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent," note that, "who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver from all your sins." You see, God, who because he is omnipotent, knows the absolute truth about each one of us, all our thoughts, words and deeds. But he still wants us, for our sake, to face up to where we have gone wrong, where we have sinned. Because it's only then that we can receive his forgiveness. Now remember the opening lines of this talk? "Come on now, let bygones be bygones. After all, as Christians, we should forgive and forget." But how can we possibly forget? What does that mean? After all, we can't switch up our memory. Well, can I suggest that forgetting the harm a person has done means it should no longer be held against them? You see, holding a grudge is not an option for Christians. But that sort of knowledge could help you to help them. If, say, you've forgiven an alcoholic who caused you harm, and that person is trying to stay sober, then because you know their weakness, you wouldn't suggest meeting up in a pub, would you? So, can I ask all of us a simple question? Have we truly forgiven everyone who has caused us, our friends, or our family harm? Are we carrying a deep-seated resentment for some past hurt? If so, is it really worth continuing on with it, given those warning words of Jesus, which are, "This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart"? Surely we who have been offered limitless forgiveness are not going to throw it back in Jesus' face like that unforgiving servant, are we? As I prepared this talk, I recall some simple words of an old hymn which reminds us of the debt Jesus paid on our behalf. And to close, I would like to share these with you. "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Amen.
Thank you, Nigel, for your words. Things to ponder on through the week. Let us now respond to that with a song. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven.
I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation, I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation, I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord.
We like to declare what it is that we believe in week by week, because by saying it aloud together as one body, we are united in its truth. So let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Richard is now going to lead us through our intercessions.
In our prayers today, when I say in you, O Lord, please respond, do we put our trust? In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for the Church. Father, we pray for ourselves and for our worship, service and mission, for the Spirit to lead us and his presence to fill us, for hope to encourage us and wisdom to teach us, for courage to serve Christ and the strength to love each other, for commitment to share our faith and God's love with our neighbour. Let us ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit for rebirth and renewal. We pray for the leaders of our church in England and for Natasha and her family at this difficult time. And we pray that the forthcoming Alpha online course will be well attended. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for the world, Father, we pray for your world and all your children in it. As Christ stood alongside us in all our sinfulness and the poverty of our lives, enable us to stand with all those who are facing the brunt of human wickedness. We pray especially for all those working for and with the Nepal Leprosy Trust as they face COVID as well as leprosy. Send us to love the helpless, hold the broken, and risk our own peace for the sake of others. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for our community. Dear Lord, we continue to live with change brought about by the pandemic. We ask that the teachers in our schools are strengthened and supported as they cope with these changes, whilst they teach their pupils and catch up with the learning that has been missed. We hold up to you also groups that have begun to meet again and bring a degree of normality back into everyday life. We pray for members of the parish council and for our doctors and nurses. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We pray for those in special need. Father, we think of those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, for those who are awaiting an operation, for those who worry about whether they have a job. And we pray especially for those who are fearful of COVID-19. In a moment of silence, we think of them and raise their names to you, O Lord. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. We remember those who have died, and we pray for the bereaved, for us and all those who mourn the passing of a dear one. Give them the peace that passes all understanding. Their passing will not be forgotten, and their memories will be with us forever. We pray for all who have lost a dear one and who could not mourn their passing in the normal way. In you, O Lord, do we put our trust. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our special prayer for this week, the Collect, is this. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Before our final prayer, let's sing once again, Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
In your name alone, we have been raised.
Pray this together. Into a world of noise and confusion, into a world that bewilders and even bemuses us at times, into a world of delight and regret, into a world of hope and fear, into a world that is ever changing, we go with the message of an unchanging God who gave his all that we might live life to the best of our ability. God of all, go with us and within us this and every day. Amen. I do hope that you have enjoyed being part of this online service today. We will be meeting in person too, if you'd like to join us, 9 a.m. at St Giles and 4 p.m. at St Andrew's every Sunday. If you are new to the Christian faith, or perhaps you've hovered around its fringes for a while, but you're not sure which way to jump, you might have some questions or faith-fueled thoughts that you'd like to explore, then let me warmly encourage you to join us on our next Alpha course. It's going to be on Zoom, and it begins the week commencing the 21st of September. To grab a place, call or email the office. Debbie or Heather will book you on and send out some guidance on what Alpha is and how to get connected when the course starts. Once again, thank you for joining us today. Keep safe and God bless.